You're in tune with World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement. Well, the Australians certainly came up with an achievement by winning that first test against the West Indies. And not necessarily in conventional manner. You were talking a little bit earlier on, Zubin, about what can only be described as a generous declaration. Sporting declaration, yeah. I mean, it's something you very rarely see in Test cricket when a team has the upper hand. I'm not sure that we've ever seen a declaration at that stage of a game, and yet they made a game of it, and they still got the job done.
Yeah, one of the greatest things I've seen in Test cricket in terms of trying to force a result and you know, making a game of it. And I'm sure it actually probably took the West Indies by surprise, which maybe was their undoing in the end. You know, very, very good way of approaching cricket. I think they've done that. They've gone to Australia before, really played aggressively. I'm not talking before, meaning in the past, where they tried to get 400 runs in a day, sporting declarations and trying to avoid ties and getting teams to chase under 400 in a day and a session. So all things that I think are good for Test cricket.
So what does it say about Michael Clarke's leadership? Farah Sarawat is a regular contributor to the program, writes for Crick Info and Wisden and the Toronto Star. Welcome, Farah. What does it say about Clarke's leadership and the manner in which he managed the game?
Well, I think it says a couple of things. The first is that it's a message both to his own team and to all other teams in the world about who he is and how Australia are going to play their cricket. The second thing is that it shows that he has confidence in his own team, and that, I think, is essential to this equation. Now, the reason I say that is, if you look at what this Australian team is, it's a shadow of what it was 5 years ago. And the players know that, too. You know, players know. Ed Cowan knows that he is not Matthew Hayden. Hilfenhaus knows that he's not Glenn McGrath. And Nathan Lyon knows that he's not Shane Warne. Michael Clarke is telling these players that I have confidence in you, that you can win me this game. So I think that's very important. You know, Michael Clarke leading from the front, is scoring runs himself, is taking charge of situations, does not let the game drift, and basically, you know, sends the message to the West Indies that, yes, you may have rattled up, you know, nearly 450 runs in your first innings, but this doesn't bother me. I can come back and I can beat you. And he did.
So even though, as we say, and many cricket followers lament, the McGraths and the Warnes of this world are long gone and we will not see their like again, and those pretenders to their crown are now filling those spots, Clarke is saying, fine, learn from history, but there you are. You are the future.
Yeah, and, you know, giving his players the confidence to say, okay, I have set up this situation, go and win me this game. And, you know, the players respond to that. I mean, you look at the Australians, they still play with spirit. You know, they know that even some of the stalwarts that are still in the side, you know, like the Ricky Pontings and Michael Hussies, are past their prime. Yet there's still, you know, the idea that they can go out and achieve something. And, you know, they've also, these older players have adapted to their new roles. You know, Ricky Ponting, one of the greatest batsmen in the history of the game, a number three. You know, he comes in at the fall of the first wicket and takes charge of the game. Well, he's not the number three anymore. And he spoke about that, but he hasn't. And, okay, this wasn't a great game for him. But nevertheless, he's part of the playing 11. And he's adapted to a new role, which is to come, you know, lower in the order.
So we're talking about legacy and we're talking about adapting, Zub, to differing situations as your career progresses. And perhaps you're not the whippersnapper you once were, but you're still worth a place in the team.
Yeah, I mean, look at what Ricky Ponting's done in the last series in India, not even that series. I think they've written him off at some point, but he's come back stronger, and that's not something that's easy to do, especially after so many accomplishments and so many runs, to still find that passion and that drive, especially in a team like Australia where there's so many good players coming through and pushing at the knocking at the door. So, you know, I think he's adapted himself well. I think he's probably not as dynamic as he was when he was younger and things like that. But he's now a mature player and knows his game really well, which is a phrase that gets pushed around when you're in your mid-30s. And what I like is that now that he's not the captain, he can concentrate back on his cricket and probably be a contributing factor.
So for us, is this new Australia, as you say, the young guys coming up, pushing the old guard and saying, if you don't perform, I'm coming for you and I'm coming for your place. And I get the sense that Australia as a test team has been in somewhat cyclical mode for some years following the retirement of some of those legends that you talk about. Are we beginning to see the emergence of a new Australia as a new world power in the test arena?
Yes and no. I think that they're certainly trying to regain and, or rather climb the ladder back and hopefully one day regain that top spot. I mean, they're doing everything that they should be doing in that respect, which is to win games. And the more games you win and the quicker you win them, the sooner you climb back on top. So they haven't, you know, let themselves, you know, flounder right down to the, you know, bottom of the pile. They're climbing back up. So that's a good sign. Now, in terms of replacing stalwarts and, you know, the legendary players, that is a slower process. And something that's a little bit alien to the Australian team of, let's say, the past 15 years or so, because in the past, when Australia were losing players, they were able to replace them with players of equal, if not better, value. You know, and that's what allowed them to maintain their consistency. So if you look at even, you know, a David Boone retiring at the number three spot, then Ricky Ponting came in, new ball bowler Craig McDermott going, replaced by Glenn McGrath, Mark Taylor going, replaced by a Matthew Hayden, Ian Healy, great wicketkeeper, replaced by an even better wicketkeeper batsman in Adam Gilchrist. So you always had players of equal or better value replacing the stalwarts. That isn't quite the case now. But I think that's where Michael Clarke's leadership becomes so important. You know, binding this team together, leading by example, and not just in terms of actual performance in the field, but even attitude towards the game. You know, Michael Clarke has signed an IPL contract. Understanding is that he was supposed to go and play in the IPL, but he's playing the test series first. And if the captain is doing that well, the rest of you better do that too. So the likes of David Warner, Shane Watson, Michael Hussey, they're all playing in this test series, even though they could be, you know, playing hit and giggle cricket in the IPL. So even that, to me, is an example of leadership and, you know, prioritizing what's important. And then winning games. And the more games you win, you know, the better you'll do. And that inspires the players who are waiting in the wings. And, you know, will lead to younger and, you know, better players coming in.
And despite all the hoopla surrounding the IPL, as you say there, you kind of put it in perspective that the Australians not exactly take it with a pinch of salt, but they'll certainly put it in a pecking order of priority and clearly test cricket for those serious, in inverted commas, cricketers comes first this test series in West Indies. As far as Clarke himself is concerned, before we conclude this conversation, what sort of a leader might he be seen as in years to come? I mean, obviously, as you say, he's doing his job. He's leading by example. Can he be a great Australian captain?
I think he can be because he doesn't have, you know, the riches that some of his predecessors had, the resources that his predecessors had. He doesn't have Ricky Ponting's team or Steve Waugh's team or Mark Taylor's team. So he's going to be more of an Alan Border figure, I think, where Alan Border had some good players, but then, you know, gradually brought in other ones and shaped the thinking of the team. And I think Michael Clarke in the next few years can do that. If they play cricket the way he wants to play it, then I think Australia will do well and Michael Clarke will be remembered as a great leader.
West Indies, do they have a chance in this series? Does it matter? Or is this all about how the Aussies are emerging?
I think it does matter for the West Indies. They will be absolutely gutted having lost this test match because if you look at that, particularly that first inning, they did very well. I mean, 449 runs, they weren't bowled out. Every player, you know, Chandrapal made 100, but every other player got into double digits. So they, you know, had stamped their authority on the first inning, certainly, and then had reduced Australia to, you know, less than 100 and three men down. So for them to have lost this test match will have hurt. They, I think, are also an improving team. There are some bright spots in that team. And, you know, Darren Sammy gets a lot of flack, I think, some of it unnecessary, because the idea is that he can't really justify his place as a batsman or a bowler, but somehow does enough to, you know, figure in the playing 11. There are challenges for the West Indies, but they're also adapting. You know, they were at one point, you know, this was a test match that was played in Barbados, which was, you know, the fortress of West Indies cricket. And, you know, the fast bowlers coming at you like anything. And, you know, there were periods in this game where the West Indies had spin operating from both ends. So, you know, this is also a team that's rebuilding, rediscovering who they are, what they can do. They cannot, you know, hope to become the West Indies team of old, but they have to find a new way. And I think they are slowly trying to do that.
Great insight, as always. Fascinating to talk to you, Faraz. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Faraz Sarwat with us on World Cricket Weekly Talk. Brought to you by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement.